A lot of people are not struggling, just struggling with weight. A lot of people, they struggle with the constant food thoughts, emotional eating, guilt, and the feeling that no matter how much they know, they still cannot seem to trust themselves around food. And that's where today's conversation really gets interesting. Because what if the issue is not simply discipline? What if the issue is that we have lost touch with our body's natural eating boundaries and that we have never have been taught how to get them back? Now, today's guest is Shirley Bilgemeier. She has spent decades helping people understand the gut-brain connection, quiet food noise, and lose weight without relying on drugs. She is the founder of Energetics and the author of Inner Eating, a book that explores the root causes of overeating and offers practical tools for lasting change. Now, this conversation is for anyone who is tired of fighting food and ready to understand what is really going on underneath. Now, my guest today, Shirley. Shirley is an author, a speaker, and a weight loss expert specializing in gut-brain connection. She is the founder of Energetics, a coaching company focused on helping clients lose weight without drugs, and the author of Inner Eating, which goes beyond the intuitive eating to explore the root causes of overeating. She has worked with weight loss clients and more than 50 years. And developed a priority method built around the idea that food should give the body energy, not drain it. Her work helps people understand the emotional and biological patterns that contribute to overeating so they can create lasting change. Shirley, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. This is such an amazing topic, and I just want to dive right into it.
Love being here. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, let's start here because I think this is what so many people are living with right now. A lot of people who do not feel frustrated by weight, they feel consumed by food thoughts. They are thinking about what to eat, what not to eat, when they messed up, when they're going to start over. You call that food noise. What is food noise really, and why is it such a big problem?
All of that food noise are thoughts coming up from within us. And that food noise, I want to hear them. So when I work with my clients, I want to hear their thoughts because I start figuring out, is that coming from non-value-based beliefs or is it coming from value-based beliefs? I need to hear those thoughts. So I need to know then what to do next to help them either eliminate it or validate them. Because you don't want to lose that internal voice. And that's what that food noise is. So I don't want to eliminate it. I want them to understand it.
I love that. Now, this gets straight to the audience's pain. They make, the episode immediately relevant. Now, do you think one of the biggest reasons people stay stuck is because they think that the issue is a lack of willpower when it is actually much deeper than that?
It's never about willpower. It's just that we stopped listening to our original eating boundaries. The minute we left those original eating boundaries, which are housed within the gut brain, we ended up in our head. And then there was work created where there was never meant to be work. When you think of an infant, if you watch that infant, you see that they have a feeling of hunger. They will let you know their voice is strong. They will let you know when they want to start eating. What's even more fascinating is they have a voice of when they want to stop eating because that hunger feel has gone away and they want to just stop eating and move on into life.
Oh, I love that. Now, the current weight management sources support the idea that to long-term success, and it depends on sustained behavioral support and practical lifestyle change, that it's not just a short burst of effort. Because a lot of people think that, they want a 1-2-3 fix in our society. And, no short, effort is going to get you anywhere. What do you think about that?
I absolutely agree with you because that short-term effect, because what you're doing is all of those reasons why you overate when you weren't hungry are now dumped in this little box called eating. And you think then if you get the eating issue figured out, people always say, well, if I was just thin, I would not have an issue. Well, once you open up that little box of when you ate when you weren't hungry, it's like you're opening up life. And that's a process of reclaiming your life, not using the tool of eating when you weren't hungry.
Right. Oh, I agree. Now, one of your most interesting ideas is that we are born with our own natural eating boundaries. You know, that's a very different message from what most people hear. Like what, like exactly what do you mean by natural eating boundaries, and how do people lose touch with them?
When we're born with that feeling of hunger, and we're born knowing when that hunger goes away. In addition, we're born with over 10,000 taste buds to let us know what's unique to each one of us. And this is where total choice connected to what tastes good, not only on your tongue, but what feels good when you're hungry. And if that choice is interfered with, we start with all that food noise of depending on the outside world to tell us what to eat, what not to eat. The minute we leave our own decisions, because whoever owns the choice owns the power. And I always want to empower my clients. So I guide them on how to reclaim and how to really listen to their own voice, to their own body, to their own feeling of what feels good to you. And people will say, but what about all the bad food? What about all the research that says you should eat this and you shouldn't eat this? And I would always ask them, have you ever noticed that the research keeps changing? One day this is good, one day this isn't good. How can you possibly keep up? And you think you're on this one track of eating what's good for you. For example, if I say that shrimp is healthy and show you all the reasons why it's healthy, but you eat it and your body reacts. Really, who's the ultimate authority? You are. So I start my whole process with that premise because I never interfere with their choice. I never interfere with their feeling of hunger because I want them, and my whole purpose is to guide them to resurface those boundaries.
Oh, I love that. Now, for someone who feels like I don't even know when what normal hunger feels like anymore, like where does that disconnection usually begin?
When I start them with a process, and you're absolutely right, people have lost touch with even knowing what hunger feels like because in this country, we're taught to bury it, drug it, never let it surface. We fear hunger. We don't honor hunger. So I need to start with an awareness, just an awareness. And the first thing I have people do in my process is to sit because you know that you are sitting. We need to start with a knowing. And after that, I say, do nothing else while you're eating. That is the key. And there's another piece in there of being calm before you eat. So that's how I start it, so that they're aware of every time they sit and eat. And I have a, like a recording card. It's not a report card, it's just recording that you actually sat and you ate. And that's how I start it, which seems like that would be very easy. Well, I'll just remember to sit before I eat. And then clients discover how many times they're going to grab something off the kitchen table. They're going to grab something off their child's plate. They just forget that they've eaten. So this whole recording card ends up being their honest reaction to food. So that starts with the awareness that they're actually starting to eat. So that sitting comes with that awareness.
I love that. Now you focus on the gut-brain connection, and that term is getting a lot more attention right now. Help us understand it in a simple way. What does the gut-brain connection have to do with overeating and cravings and weight?
Because the gut brain houses our whole identity. It's like you ever hear yourself saying, I just had a feeling. I just kind of knew. All those feelings are coming from within the gut brain. And you feel nervous. Where do you feel it? Many people have even lost touch with where any of that information is coming from. That's where I really start educating them about hunger, because hunger is within the gut brain. And I will start with like a hunger scale. And you can do this too, Stephanie, where if from the scale from 0 to 10, on a scale 0 starved, 10 is stuffed, 5 is the feeling of nothingness. What does that feel like? So if you put your mind in your stomach in this moment, 0 starved, 10 is stuffed, 5 is the feeling of nothingness, what number would you be at now?
That's
So imagine.
really interesting. when you think about it that way.
So Stacey, even for yourself, say what number would you be at now? If you put your mind in your stomach, four would be like a little bit hungry, three would be more hungry, two would be like a growling stomach, 10 would be stuffed. If you put your mind in your stomach right now, what number would you be at?
I think I feel like a 4 or 5 right now, like a 4 going into a 5.
You knew it like that. I've only talked to you a matter of a few minutes, Stace. It hasn't been that long. Everybody knows it. We just stopped listening.
Exactly. And our body always talks to us. And I always tell people too, you have to listen to your body because your body is always talking to you. Your gut is always talking to you. Your heart, your brain, you're getting symptoms, and those are all signals that your body's trying to really communicate with you.
And do you believe that there are 9 messages to 1 from your gut to your head versus your
Wow.
head to your gut? So you're
Yeah.
going to lose 90% of your information. And I always say the body always starts out with a little whisper, then it's a little bit louder, then it starts to scream, and then it takes you down. And you
Right.
have to start listening. It will win regardless. It will force you to start listening.
Exactly. Now, research supports a bi-directional gut-brain relationship, and recent reviews note links, among diet, among gut, and among stress, and among emotional eating and obesity. So when people think that they just have a food problem, they may not actually be dealing with just a body-brain emotional loop that they don't understand. It may be more than that, right?
Oh, without a doubt, everybody I work with, they say, oh, this isn't just an eating issue. This is a life issue because eating is simple. Life is complex.
Yeah.
Once we get eating in order, life surfaces. And as they get eating in order, they start developing the tools how to handle their own life without eating gradually. It gradually starts happening. So they put eating in order, they've developed the tools. Now they can handle life from the very lowest of the low feeling to the highest of the high and
Yeah.
bring themselves back to balance.
I love that. Now, how often is overeating really a response to stress, loneliness, frustration, or emotional overwhelm rather than the true physical hunger?
Once they understand, and it's amazing because they always say, oh, I just didn't understand hunger. Once I connect them to hunger, I will get, because they'll write down the start of what their number is and the stop. They get
Yeah.
very specific. Oh, I'm at a 2.5, or I'm at a 6.3. I mean, it becomes very specific. And the good news is, understanding it this way, and when they're working with their eating boundaries, then they know, and it becomes almost their own best, they have become almost their own best psychologist, because when they overeat, when they go beyond the 5, they know something's going on. They're using it outside. Or
Right.
if they eat before the 2, they know, okay, what am I using it for? So then they become curious, what is it about me that I'm running from? Because they
Yeah.
take that detour to eating because it's so quick. It happens
Right.
so quickly.
Oh, so true. Now, this feels especially timely because we are in a moment where a lot of public conversation is around weight loss and it's focused on medication. Now, while there are medications out there helping some people, there is also a huge conversation happening around sustainability, side effects, nutrition, and what happens long term. Where do you think people are still hungry for a deeper solution?
Where are the people still hungry? It's once they drug it, it's like, that's why I want the food noise. I want them to feel hunger. It's important because that's our scent, that's our soul, that's who we are. We don't want to be drained inside of ourselves. We want to live, we want to feel ourselves, we want to
Yeah.
really engage with ourselves and our feelings. So that hunger is a hunger for connection. But they think if they are in their heads and they don't hear that food noise and they don't feel hunger, that they're connected. But
Yeah.
now they're missing out on 90% of their information. They don't feel grounded. They don't feel steady in their feet. They don't feel
Yeah.
that sense of, here I am on this earth. I'm a human being on this earth.
Right. Now, current, medical discussion around GLP-1s, highlights both meaningful benefits and practical challenges, such as the G1 side effects, nutrition concerns, the cost and what supports long-term maintenance. People want freedom, but not dependence. Like, what is your input on that?
Yeah, they want the freedom, but they want it instantly.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen instantly. And then they're missing out on all the information, and they're missing out on believing or knowing that all the tools of handling life are a gift at birth. We were
Yeah.
given all of those tools, and now they're missing out on all those tools, and they've got to be on these drugs the rest of their life. They think that it's the answer, and in reality, it just puts them further and further back.
Right, exactly. You need to understand, your eating and not just suppress it. And that's what these medications are doing.
I absolutely agree with you. And I work with many people who have come off of it, but then we just have to back up and undo what they did, because what happens when those drugs are drugging your gut brain and your hunger, deprivation feelings are building up that haven't been dealt with. So when I
Right.
start working with them, I've got to go back and reclaim all of those feelings that really are you.
Yeah. So your message is not going to, it's not, ignore biology. It's to learn how to work with your biology and your emotions instead of against them, basically.
Yeah, you've got to own them. Own your whole being. Own your own human condition. Own the wonderful gift of life. There's so many things going on in your body. I mean, our body is truly a miracle.
Yeah.
And we don't want to numb it. We want
No.
to be alive.
Oh, 100%. Now let's go deeper into the root causes, because there is, where people, real change really happens. What are some of the most common emotional blocks or patterns that you see underneath overeating?
Great question. Because first, you have to understand what the out of order eating is doing for you. It moves you from an unpleasant feeling to a pleasant feeling.
Yeah.
It moves you from an inactive to an active. You're chewing. You went to the food, you got it, you're chewing. And it also brings you back to yourself. It
Right.
brings that food goes back inside yourself. So you really need to understand what that food is really doing for you before you can eliminate it.
Yes.
And what that feeling is, there's some feeling in your gut. And a lot of times when I start working with people, they don't even know there's a feeling there. All of a sudden, they
Right.
find themselves in the refrigerator. And so I work with backing them up to say there is a feeling before that desire to eat thought happens. And the way I have them access it is the minute that you hear that thought, that desire to eat thought, I say, drop back into your stomach. What number are you at? Where are you at? Are you hungry? The minute you say no, I said, let go of the eating. Be curious what it is you need to learn,
Yeah.
because if you don't, the food will do it for you
Oh,
in
yeah.
an instant, unfortunately, and it works too well. But now it becomes more powerful than your own thoughts and
Right.
actions, because it's used out of order. It's used when you were meant to use your own thoughts and actions. So the eating says, okay, you don't want to stay with yourself? Well, guess what? You come over to me, I'm going to put you right back inside yourself. You're going to be calm. You're going to feel that solid concrete steadiness to yourself. But now you did it not with your own thoughts and actions. You did it with the food. So when you talk about food addictions, I say it's just not owning the discomfort, the decision, the action to stay with yourself.
Right. Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, what do people usually discover once they stop treating overeating like a discipline issue and they start looking at it as, at what it is driving it?
That's where in fact, I just worked with a young woman from England, and when we were going through the process, because first I have to have them really know that they can land there. And if they don't
Yeah.
know what's driving them, that's where I come in and I really work in that moment. I work
Yeah.
moment to moment with them. They have access to me in my process. And so when she texted me, she just said, I just don't know, but I have this desire to eat thought and I can't get past it. I just can't get past it. So we talked. And I said, there's a feeling. What is the feeling? She says, I have no idea. I said, then you say, I know, because what's eating is something you know how to do. We all know how to chew, eat, and swallow.
Yes.
And that knowing is what grounds us. I know, I don't know what it is yet. And what we discovered, we just uncovered a lot of stuff about what she was frustrated with.
Yeah.
It wasn't about the eating. But she said, oh my word, there was so much information. Now I'm curious. The next time I have that desire to eat thought, what is it? And if I
Yeah.
can't figure it out, I know we will figure it out. There's
Yeah.
no reason to leave myself.
Right. Oh, I love that. Now let's make this practical for the person listening right now who feels trapped in food, noise, or overeating patterns. What are the two or three things that they can start doing this week to reconnect with those natural eating boundaries?
I love those questions because you can always start with just sitting first.
Right.
And if you say, I don't have time to sit and eat. And I said, if you could take away all that frustration with eating and all the thoughts about what you ate, what you didn't eat, and just sit, would you have more time? I
Right.
give people back time to sit and really enjoy their food. So that's the first thing I have them do is to sit before they eat. The second thing is take a few minutes to just pause and be calm.
Right.
And I work with people on how to even access that calm so that if you're not calm, if you're in that fight or flight, you're going to be hungrier than you need to be. So
Yeah.
even that hunger can get distorted if you're in that fight or flight. So the second thing would be just calm down, just take a, 10 seconds just to really get in there. And the
Yeah.
third thing is don't do anything else while you're eating. Take that time just for yourself. That few minutes, and a lot of times, maybe it's just 10 minutes that you take that time to sit and eat. And I work with a lot of moms who have a lot of chaos around the dinner time and schedules and all
Yeah.
of that. So I'm always working with their life, not against it.
Oh, I like that. Now, what is one shift people can make immediately that helps food feel less chaotic?
The minute they have that desire to eat thought, if they feel, if they can work on that hunger scale, like I showed you at the beginning, Stacey,
Yeah.
that hunger scale, you can access that immediately. If they know they're not hungry, just say, okay, let go, get the head out of there, get back into my life
Right.
and get back to really living my life, focus on my life. Because from the very beginning of my process, I have people move into their life. They don't wait until the storage is gone.
Yeah.
So when that desire to eat thought, I need to have them practice putting that thought on the shelf and moving into life. And I never have them think size and weight. Now,
Right.
people would say, but I'm coming to you for size and weight. I said, exactly. But I said, let me ask you this. If you only ate from the 2 to a 5, would you eat less food?
Right.
They said, well, yes. Well, if you ate less food, would you lose weight? And they said, yes. I said, okay, we're dealing with the original boundaries of our food. Those are the original ones. That's where the whole arena starts. That's where the whole issue starts. We've lost that connection. So if we stay connected there, then it's going to be easier because if you think size and weight and you're not at the weight that you want to be,
Yeah.
what is that feeling? That feeling feels like there's nothing to do about it in this moment. I said, you don't need to like your storage. We're not meant to have storage. That's for a famine. And as of yet, I haven't heard of one.
Right.
So let's just keep size and weight thoughts on the shelf. If you think size and weight, just say, wait a minute, no, go back to my body. That's my original boundary.
Right. Oh, I like that. Now, how can someone tell the difference between real hunger and emotional eating in the moment?
Yeah, that another great question. I love your questions, by the way, Steve, because you're just hitting them. Because I have a tennis friend who said, well, Shirley, what is your process all about? I said, well, just eat when you're hungry. And she
Yeah.
said, but I'm always hungry. And I said, no, every feeling below your neck isn't hunger because that's the feeling. It's like
Yeah.
we don't know how to drop into our body. So
Right.
that's why I always teach that hunger scale. So you know if you're hungry. Like when I asked you, Stace, at the beginning, you knew what you were. You knew what number you were. And so I said, let's just wait for a 2. Let's get comfortable with hunger. Let's
Right.
honor hunger. Let's let your body feel hunger. And many times my clients will say, oh, it's like hunger is a good thing because I know
Yeah.
now I haven't used food as a tool to handle my life.
Yeah.
So then we start going, okay, what's the discomfort? Then I start asking a lot of questions. And this is where I have many conversations, and they all tell me this is very different than anything else they've had out there because I need to catch them in the moment. I need
Yes.
to really understand what that thought is so I can help them turn it around, calm it down. Is it a non-value-based belief? I'm working with beliefs constantly in that gut
Yeah.
brain to calm the nervous system down because if we're in a fight or flight, we're running from ourselves. We're running. We're on that, it's like fight or flight. You're going to
Yeah.
fight someday and we're in that constant agitation. So I teach people how to really calm that down before they start to eat and really understand what it is that they're wanting to run from within themselves.
Right. Oh, I love that. I love that because that's one of the biggest problems because people don't understand what they're trying to run from. And a lot of people just say, well, I like to eat because I just like food. But that's not really an answer. It goes deeper than that. And I
Yeah.
don't think, either people don't want to admit to it and they're in denial, or they haven't taken the time to really understand what their body is telling them, what their emotions are telling them, or digging deep into their emotions and into their past to figure out why they go to food, as a resource.
It's so interesting, Stacey, because every time you say something, I go, okay, now you just went to the next level. And when you said, because people will always say, but it tastes so good. And I said, once you feel no longer hungry, taste, we have four other pleasure senses to be used when we need more pleasure. I said, if you're saying it tastes so good, then you're saying I need more pleasure. But what I start showing people, and this is what gets really exciting for them, I show them on how to stop at the five. They'll get five pleasures versus one, which they're going to destroy when they're overeat because they're not going to remember the taste. They're going to be beating themselves up because they ate too much. So they destroy it. So the five pleasures, when you stop at a five, with it, you listen to hunger, you felt good in your body. You had the energy to go. You weren't so stuffed that you just wanted to collapse in a chair. You mentally became confident that you could stop at a five. And now you have the taste of the food, which you remember now because you're not overcrowded. So there are five pleasures to one to stop at that five and not overeat. Overeating doesn't feel good. It's not, we're not meant to overeat. I always call that eating out of order. Whenever you eat before you're hungry or after the five, you're eating out of order. So that's what we deal with. So we got four other pleasure senses. And it's interesting because I had a CEO that was said, okay, Shirley, I understand the 2 to a 5 now. I really understand that. But 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that desire to eat thought pops up and I can think of nothing else. I said, exactly. I said, so we're going to brainstorm. Because let's imagine that eating didn't exist. And I always have these, they call them Shirleyisms because of these thoughts that correct this. I said, if you just put eating on the shelf and it didn't exist in that moment, what would you do? And he looked at me and he said, Shirley, I'm a CEO of a company. I have no answers for you. And I said, exactly, because now eating has clouded your creative soul, created, it's worked above your own mind. It went over and above you, and it has destroyed your ability to be creative. I said, so now let's just brainstorm for a while. Let's just imagine, what could you possibly do in that moment? And he said, so we just waited for a while. He said, well, I could walk down the hall. I could just come and look out the window. And all of a sudden, action after action after action started surfacing. And you had the pleasure sense along with an action, like walking down the hall is the sense of touch and moving. So you have the other pleasure sense with an action. And that's what starts to surface. And then life becomes colorful again. Because what happens with people when they've used taste out of order, they think that the only thing they love to do is eat because it has caused the flatness of all the other pleasure senses because it's never as intense as those. And they're right. But now it has taken over everything.
Oh, 100%. Now, if someone was listening and feels discouraged because they had to try so many things and nothing has lasted, what do you want them to know?
I want them to know that when they reconnect with their eating boundaries, and if they work with me, they will know that I'm there 100%. That's what I'm very different. I have a course, but I also have they have access to me. So I want to know their thoughts. I want to hear their thoughts. I might not be able to answer them in that second, but I'll read those thoughts and I'll know, do I need to talk to them? Can I answer with a one-step thing? But I never want my clients to be the least bit frustrated with not knowing what to do with that desire to eat thought.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, if you could leave people with one idea about food, weight, and their body, what would it be?
Eating and your body were meant to give you energy. That was the place where you landed to really gain the pleasure and the strength from your body, from the food, not too much, really having it in order to go out and live life. It was never meant to drain your life, but when you eat out of order, it can start draining your life. Eating and your body were meant to give you your life and support your life.
I love that. Now tell us about the services that you provide.
It's so interesting because I really thought that when I published my book way back, I've been doing this a long time, way back in 91, that this little tool that I had would be fine. But I realized that, okay, I need a lot more tools. It's getting worse out there instead of better. People are really getting further and further away from their natural eating boundaries. And so as I started working with more and more tools, I thought, okay, I need to develop more and more tools. I need a course. I'm a teacher at heart. I really want people to get it because I know there's it, everybody can, because everybody was an infant at one time. We all can achieve those and reconnect with those eating boundaries. So I then developed a course where I have over 60 videos, handouts. I have 13
I
parts where
love
I
that.
make sure that I really lay that foundation, that they really understand all of it. And I go for a full year. I go for a full year, but they may end up with the course being done in, 5 months, 3 months, 6 months. But I know that down the road, once they think they have eating in order, life is going to surface. And I want them to know that we're going to get to this. We're going to have it so that you know this and that will never be an issue for you again. And you won't have that storage.
I love that. And you also have podcasts, correct?
I'm on a lot of podcasts, and people always said, let's do a podcast so people can call in. So that's kind of the next stage, I think. I've been doing this a long time. I love answering questions, as you can well see. It's just part of what I love to do. And I've always loved working one-on-one. But that's kind of the next plan, is to really get out there and answer people's questions. I don't want people frustrated with this. I really thought back in when I was in my 40s, I thought, well, let's just get this eating issue straightened out and I'll go on and do something else, never knowing how big of an issue it was, because I know everybody can do this. Everybody.
Yes, everybody. Now, where can people find you?
They can find me on my website. My website is energetics, and everybody, when they hear it, think it's EN. No, it's energetics, energy from within, INNER. They can reach me through my website. I have an Instagram thing called Instagram Method, that's so they can reach me through there. And if they go into my website, they can download that book that I wrote a long time ago. I wouldn't change one word in it. I just have more developed tools that I use in there, but it's a great foundation and they can download that for free. They can also, if they're really interested, sign up for a free half an hour consultation so that they can talk to me.
Oh, I
And
love
even
that.
before anybody signs up with me, I always have them talk to somebody who has worked with me so they know that I'm in this. I know this and I want them, everybody, to understand it.
I love this. I love this. You know, what I love about this conversation that it takes the shame out of the struggle. It reminds me that overeating is often not about weakness, it's about disconnection, strength, stress, emotion, and patterns that can be understood and changed. You know, this has been so enlightful, and so informational. You know, it brings the message that a practical, that this the that eating, an eating disorder or just having trouble, controlling your eating habits and wanting to be in a place where you feel happy and comfortable, it is that there is hope and that there is the ability to change the way we eat, to change the way we think, to change the way we feel about ourselves and our body, and to be, and that lasting change just starts by learning how to listen again. And I think that's the key, is just learning how to listen. And I think, a lot of people have lost contact with learning how to listen. They just, they are like the one thing you stress is that your gut and your brain is always talking to you, and people have to realize that. So I thank you so much for being on this show, and I really, I appreciate what you're doing, because I think in today's society, I think we really do need to listen to, to our gut and to our brain more, and to really understand our body. So once we understand ourselves and we understand our body, I think lots of things can change from that. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share this information with us, and you're making great change, and I appreciate you.
Thanks so much, because it is really about understanding,
Yes.
because there is a way there.
There is a way there, and I don't want to see people give up, because I really, there is a way, there is a solution, and you just have to want it, and you can be able to, with someone like yourself who could just guide them along and just, hold their hand through it and show them the steps, so many, healthy changes that are sustainable and also permanent. If we take care of ourselves and we maintain, a healthy living style, this is something that could stay with us the rest of our lives, and that's why it's so important to do it naturally, and to listen to your gut and your brain, and listen to what your body is saying to you.
Yes, absolutely. You've said the words perfectly, because people need to know that it's doable. It's possible. We
Yes.
were given this wonderful gift at birth. We
Yes.
all own it. I just
You
guide
do.
them back to get there, and I just take out the interference and guide
Yes.
them back to themselves, to their own home.
Exactly. That's beautiful. I love that. I love that. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much, Shirley, for being on our show. I appreciate you, and I hope you'll be back, because this is something we need to really talk about more in depth. And I appreciate everything that you shared on the show. And you really, I think, opened up a lot of people's eyes. And you're just a wonderful person with the ability to change people's lives. And I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you. I loved your question, Stace, because you just kept. I thought, okay, good. Now she's got that one going. So that was, it was just fun to be on here with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you have a great day.
You as well.